Yes, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for... No, I haven't prepared at all. One of the things that I'm trying to do more and more is run presentations off of the web, which kind of shows, you know, how accessible things should be. Sometimes you, of course, then have to rely on the internet connection, right, which can be slow. But then you can present things which are... You can then go and look at this more. So I'm here representing Journal of Embodied Research, which I for sure is the youngest of the journals being represented here. It's just launched in February and has no content yet. So it's really an open field, and I think there is an open field here. I'm going to talk for, let's say, 2 minutes about the journal, and then I want to give touch on two other things to give a little bit of context in response to some of the conversations that I was having earlier in the day. I think it would be useful to do that. So this journal is making a kind of a claim. It's entering this field, this exploding field. And we were talking before about there's many, many platforms for publishing in media beyond text. There's many places you can put a short video, a long video, video with text. I would say almost all of the theater and performance academic journals are launching online sites of different kinds and negotiating this question. This journal has a kind of a narrower focus in a way. I often find it useful to combine something that's a little bit provocative or bold as a proposal with something that's kind of conservative and maintains something. I find the combination can be powerful. So the narrow, the conservative aspect here is that we're talking about articles, academic articles, and we're thinking about that as something that undergoes peer review, and it's a little bit on the formal side. What's unusual about it is that the articles are made of video. That's the main thing. So the thing that's being tested here, the possibility, the proposal that's being tested, is that there can be an academic article which takes that name, and we wrestled with, is it a video essay or a video article? And I wanted to say it's a video article. It's an article. It goes alongside other articles, and to push that. Thinking that the length is 15 to 20 minutes, and it's peer-reviewed, it's open access, it's run through Open Library of the Humanities, which I won't go into, but it is a very innovative open access publication platform for open access journals in a lot of fields across the humanities. And one of the other things about the Journal of Embodied Research is that by focusing on embodiment, embodied research, and of course the relationship between embodiment and video, it actually taps into what I think is an area that is across the humanities and social sciences. So if we go to... I think it's under about the journal. Is it here? You can see on this website the editorial team. There's a board which is quite representative of a diverse international and interdisciplinary context. There aren't any submission guidelines in the strict sense because nobody knows really what a video article looks like, and I think it would be wrong to come in and say it must have these sections or give anything like style guidelines. Maybe in 10 years there will be like Chicago style guidelines for a video article, right? But at the moment there isn't, and so under what is a video article, it's that it's a new medium for which detailed style guidelines have yet to be developed. You can find some stuff on this page in terms of how you might think about it, some logistics of file exchange, some questions about authorship and intellectual property, which are very much relevant. And then at the bottom, there's some links to some wonderful, starting with the theater dance performance training.org blog, right, which was just talked about. So a lot of works in our field and then sites in other fields that are working with videos that might be indicative resources where you could go and see what people are doing with video in dance, in theater, but also in medicine and in other areas that you might not think about but that maybe we could be drawing on. So as I said, it's an open field, and I'm very happy to talk to people about, for example, I have some video materials, I have some work, I have some big, how should I shape this? And to kind of have a dialogue which then allows you to put together a draft, which then would go through a peer review process, and you'd get feedback. Can you clarify this? Can you expand this? This part is hard to follow, etc. It's a process, and it's also a technological process as we figure out what are the best ways to do the peer review of a video. But I want to also touch on a couple other things because coming out of the conversations from this morning, I thought it would be useful to give a little bit more, two elements that are some context. So I'm going to go over to my my own website, which is distinct, just to mention some resources that you might be able to use. So I've been developing this website as a WordPress page. The images are not loading, so we have a slow, there they are. Here's a link to the Journal of Embodied Research. There's a kind of work-in-progress video epistemology syllabus, which is a fancy word for thinking about how video could be a research document, could be a knowledge document. Not going to go into it, but there are some links there in an order, in a kind of syllabus-type way of, like, how do we think about the transmission of embodied knowledge through video? There's some historical videos from that perspective. There's some contemporary, really almost commercially oriented, because there's a world of commercial transmission of embodied knowledge or selling of embodied knowledge through video. And so there's some examples there that might be useful. I also wanted to mention, without going into it at all, this book, because it really is the foundation of my thinking about video epistemology. And it's not at all that you would need to engage with this to do something for the journal. Absolutely not. But I think that since we were talking earlier in the day about the articulation of knowledge and embodiment and embodied knowledge, this book is called What a Body Can Do, Technique as Knowledge, Practice as Research. It's an argument that technique is knowledge. It's an unpacking of the implications of technique as knowledge. Basically, if technique is knowledge, practice can be research. So it's a kind of an attempt to intervene in the practice as research debates from the perspective of embodiment and embodied practice. And it's meant as a tool. I want to say weapon, but I don't think I want the violent connotations of that. But it's meant as a tool for practitioners, practitioner researchers, scholar practitioners, who need to make the argument that they are doing research not because they're linking their practice to theories, but because the technique, the craft, the practice is structured by knowledge. It's like a toolkit. So I offer it to you as something that might be useful if you find yourself making that argument. And then I want to finish. I just want to point to my current research project, which is engaging in particular ways with some of the issues that have come up recently today, particularly taxonomy. Question of naming, and when we select and work with video materials, how do we name them? So I've started to develop this online resource, which is still in development on a daily basis, called the Songwork Catalog. It's coming out of a laboratory project. There is funding, so there is some resources there. However, it's not funding on the scale of, like, build your own website, have web developers, etc. It's on a smaller scale, and it is intended to be a little bit more accessible. So, for example, this, what you're seeing is a combination of WordPress and Vimeo. It's not free, but it's a lot cheaper than building your own website from the ground up, which is, you know, a major resource. And it's coming out of this laboratory process and a collaborative laboratory process in which we basically go into the studio, play around, video documentation is embedded in the process from the beginning, and then we discuss and debate and argue over how to title each of the little videos. These are all videos 3 to 5 minutes long. And because of the way that's happening, because of the way we are titling them, the process of titling, the titles are something very interesting for me. I'm just scrolling through them. There's 88 of them at the moment, and it's still growing. But the titles are not the first thing. So we're not starting with existing concepts and then illustrating them in the studio and making videos of them. That is a very important approach, which I think is associated in some ways with a pedagogical approach. But from a research perspective, I'm really excited about how the titles, the naming, is emerging out of the practice afterwards. So first you have 6 hours of practice, then you choose a 3 to 5 minute, it's intuitive, right? This 3 minutes, something happened, it was valuable. But what was it? And so the naming is all coming afterwards. And you're getting these names which, some of them are very clear, wearing the camera, we were trying a GoPro, right? But in some of them, we're bringing in Russian terms and saying, how do we want to use this? And we're arguing over, was that an association, or was it a memory, or was it a physical action? What does that even mean? And so we're hashing out the words afterwards. I'm excited about this format. I think it's somewhere, it has a kind of substance, but it's not totally coherent, and just playing with the structure. So I encourage you, regardless of whether you're talking about the Journal of Embodied Research, to play with video and to think about how video can be inserted into your practice and how you can work creatively with it and also with the titling and with the way you're generating the language around the practice. Thanks.
Anyone got any questions for Ben after that?
Just a practical question.
Yeah. So this journal's open access.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of open access journals charge fantastic money to actually be in it.
Yeah.
So are you going to charge like £200-300?
No, there are no author-facing charges. And when I shopped the journal around after developing the idea, I spoke to some academic presses, and they were basically, it was either you have author-facing charges, or the journal has to come up with thousands of dollars per year somehow. I mean, there has to be, right? So Open Library of the Humanities is what I found. There are a few open access initiatives of how do you publish in the humanities, because the sciences, the research grants cover the author-facing fees, but in the humanities, often not. So how do the humanities start to publish open access? So Open Library of the Humanities, you can read about it on their website. They publish 17 or 18 humanities journals in a wide variety of fields. They operate through an international consortium of academic libraries, where each of the libraries pays what's actually a tiny fee. It's something like the cost of one TNF article for a year or something, you know. And they contribute that just for being part of the consortium, and that supports all of the journals. So there's no author facing. So hopefully that platform will grow, and that's what this, that's what our journal is relying on.
So the really impressive thing is the short video extracts. I hadn't actually thought of doing just moments like that. I think that's a really, really good idea. Any other questions for Ben, please? Yes, there's one over. Gabriel.
So you have a lot of practice in your body, Ben, yes, a lot of experience. So when you're starting what is one of these tiny little videos, which eventually ends up being made, what do you start with?
That's a great question. So this method, which I'm thinking is in evolution, it's maybe a research method of embodied research, which I haven't found before so concretely, is formalizing power dynamics in the studio. So the initial question is the relationship between who's practicing, who's giving verbal instructions, and who's documenting. In the simplest version, so there's three of us in the lab, three of us who are funded for 6 months. In the simplest version, you have one practitioner, one director, and one documenter, and you are able to document solo practice. More complex, you can have the director also be in the space, and of course there's a question of the external materials like a script or a song coming in, but basically the method is about the power dynamics, and so there isn't a formalization of what techniques you're starting with. It's rather the interaction. So you have someone in the space who's asked to enter and sing a song, and you have someone else who's asked to sort of shape or intervene on that, and it's able to grow in this dynamic way that it grows in the studio without specifying what the technique will be at the beginning, except for the formalization of the...
And a typical session, what, would it be a day, half a day, 2 hours?
Or... Well, we have the luxury, because it's a funded little micro laboratory, of working a full day or a full week. So we can do 4 days of full day studio practice and rotate the configurations and have each person be directing each person. But I have the feeling that you could do it in a much smaller, you could do a work exchange with someone. We could go into a studio and say, you lead for 2 hours, I'll lead for 2 hours. We share documentation, we ask a student to document, you have 4 hours of video, you choose 5 moments, you have all that body knowledge somehow there, and then you talk about, and then you decide, are we going to talk about it? We can have a conversation, voiceover, text, how do we add that density? Yeah. But there's so much richness in the studio practice.
Yeah. Yes?
I just wanted to ask, it seems that editing is key to this, as it is with writing. And I just wondered if you've got 4 hours of material, what are your tips for decent editing, I suppose?
I think my tips for decent editing right now is try different stuff. Think about different audiences and different platforms. So in this structure, we have different moments of editing. There's an editing moment when the documenter turns on the camera, because they don't have to have it on the whole time. So they decide, oh, something's happening, let me capture this. That's an editing moment. Then you get the footage from that. Then there's another editing moment where someone's assigned, go through these 3 hours and choose some clips. So they're choosing some things. Then you end up with this page, which has 88 videos on it and is starting to feel a little bit unwieldy. So there's a quest now I'm facing, like, how do we structure this? And then there's kind of putting these together. But that depends on the audience. You could take these and make a really great 3-minute trailer that's like, the project, we're coming, we do this, right? But you could also take it in a much more open way and make an expanded video that has some voiceover and some text and some photos and kind of move around it and maybe put some other footage.
So you use tags to link them by subject.
Yes, you can link by subject. You can. I mean,
yeah.
I think we don't know. I think the style guidelines are to be, we can be experimenting. I think when you, I mean, there's a wealth of knowledge of cinema and media studies, right? But when you flip it and you say that the video is serving the body practice instead of the other way around, it's a different rhetoric. It's a different need. So we have to figure out, as practitioners, how video serves us in documenting what we do.
Yeah, I think that's right. Great. Anyone else?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
In what way would it be, you know, if you've been cited, if somebody's cited you, journals pick that up, what if somebody writes about your work? How would it be referenced or cited? Or how would you know that they might be publishing about something that you've done?
Yeah.
How would you capture that?
It's very complex, and it's not something I've thought a tremendous amount about. I think I would say, we know that citation will always be beyond our ability to capture, and it always has been, and it will be increasingly. I mean, you can have, if they're both online, in theory you can have links and pingbacks, but will they always happen? Not necessarily. I'm interested also, for example, in if someone downloads this and they insert, because I want to be able to take someone else's video and put it next to my video and have an essay come around that. But the mechanisms of citation, I don't think they're worked out. I mean, there's many possibilities. There's lots of metadata tags. And yeah, it's also a reason why I wanted to hook the journal up with Open Library of Humanities, because they're not video-focused, but in terms of their open access humanities journals, they are thinking a lot about metadata tags and universal identifiers, the technology of how you link the objects online.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much again. Thanks.